Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is presented by Iron Jock and Wisconsin.Golf's Shirts of Summer. There are 90-degree temperatures in the back half of the Talking.Golf 14-day forecast, and Iron Jock can have you ready to handle the heat and the humidity. Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a proprietary process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. Join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjock.com. With Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. We welcome you to Talking.Golf here on a second weekend in July as we hit the teeth of the tournament season. And Gary D'Amato, you might have caught that. I snuck it into the read, looked at the forecast. The State Am is going to be hot and sultry. We've got good temperatures next week. We might not need to break out the Iron Jock yet. But I'll say this, I just got back from running a few errands down here in Arizona, and I don't care what you say about a dry heat. I needed my Iron Jock on because I tell you what, 113 in the car with the sun beating down on you, you're bound to sweat. And when you sweat, you stink, unless you're wearing Iron Jock.
That was very, very well done, Rob, and very true. I will be packing my Iron Jock when we cover the State Am together in a couple of weeks, Rob.
All right, we're going to have to, me and Jim Kelch should have to coordinate, wear it on the same day and do some heavy-duty Iron Jock selfie promotion there because we do appreciate their sponsorship here of Talking.Golf and especially here through the heat of summer. And Gary D., tell you what, the hottest story, as we segue into our first topic here on Talking.Golf, that we have on the website, clearly – your visit up to Century World and the newly imagined Century World, complete with a new boutique hotel, a golf course that is second to none and continues to get improvement after improvement, and just the all-inclusive package. But I wanted to start. I read the story, and to me, being a connoisseur of fine hotels, wishful that I could stay in those that have that name their bath towels something else. The boutique hotel at Century World, I thought, was the highlight of the trip. It was down in your story. So, folks, if you've read the story, didn't get to that bottom part. I mean, Gary, we're talking, you know, 5-star hotel type treatment there.
Yeah, maybe I buried the lead, Rep. You're right. It's certainly on equal footing with the golf course as far as, you know, amenities and reasons you would go there and play golf and stay. The hotel was just, it's out of this world, Rob. I mean, they did a great job. It took a long time to build because they had supply chain issues and really forced the course not to reopen when it was supposed to last August because they didn't want construction on the hotel going on adjacent to the 18th fairway while golfers were playing. So it's a really neat hotel, 64 rooms, almost all of them or 80% of them overlook the 18th hole. Every room has a little balcony you can walk out on, Rob, and watch golfers on number 18. And just the little things, you know, I think that's what makes a hotel stay memorable is they take care of all little things. For instance, when you check in, Rob, you get your choice of a spotted cow or a glass of wine or a drink of your choice, basically. And then you go up to the room and on the counter, they have all the ingredients and instructions for making Wisconsin old fashioned, a brandy old fashioned. Stub toe lights. I didn't know what they were until Chad Bates, the hotel general manager, explained that that's the name for them. They're lights that under the bed in the middle of the night when you swing your feet over the bed, if you have to go use the restroom, the lights come on and illuminate the floor in front of you so you won't be tripping on your way to the bathroom. It's just little touches like that that are that make a hotel stay memorable. And this one certainly is, Rob.
Yeah, I was just reading about the toe stub lights under the bed, activated by motion, no less. So they're not on all night, bothering you if you're a light sleeper. And by the way, I believe Chad Bates, a Wisconsin Rapids guy, so he's a good guy. Also spent came to Century World from the Temecula Creek Inn out in Temecula, where I spent 5 years and right. got to you know, see their course and their amenities out there. So the guy knows what he's doing. And the bath sheets, towels are called bath sheets there. Are they really big enough to swaddle a small car? That means that it doesn't matter the size of the golfer, and we grow them big in Wisconsin, Gary D'Amato, but you can finally be covered by a bath towel, huh?
Well, I'm 6 feet tall, Rob, and it was taller than me. And
wow.
I'm not quite that wide, but I'm headed in that direction. And I was able to wrap it completely around me. It was like a cocoon. Yeah, the bath towels are great. Bath sheets, I guess they're called officially. And little things in the bathroom, like makeup remover kits for women and shoe shine kits. And the closet also illuminates when you walk past it. And so does the bathroom in the night. When you walk into the bathroom, a soft light comes on so you can see where you're going in the bathroom. And it's just little touches like that. Huge walk-in showers. You could almost play pickleball in the showers, Rob. They're huge with the rain, you know, the rain shower overhead. Yep. I mean, it's just... everything's first class about the place. It's really highly recommended.
Well, I'm old enough, Gary, to remember when the Holiday Inn Holodome in Stevens Point was high class living.
Yeah.
I think we've raised the bar to a whole another stratosphere when it comes to the hotel experience in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I also was intrigued because we've seen other high-end courses go to this. Sand Valley has developed a year-round opportunities to stay on the property and enjoy amenities even when there's snow on the ground. It appears as though even the non-golfer year-round is treated to opportunities at Central World. The inn also features what you stated here, the outfitter. Chad Bates called it a gift shop on steroids, and includes such things as Trek bicycles and fishing poles for summer activity, and then cross-country skis and snowshoes for the winter. I just find the whole golf community building of a place like this to be fascinating. And we haven't even talked about the golf yet, and it's already sounding like a spectacular ideas project that the folks at Century Insurance have dreamed up.
Yeah, certainly, you know, non-golfers are going to use this hotel and the clubhouse, Rob, that has PJs, the restaurant, really good restaurant in the clubhouse. And people in the community use this property and use these amenities who don't play golf at Century World. And, you know, board members are coming in for Century Insurance, can stay in the hotel. They never have to go on the golf course if they don't play golf, but they can have a great experience in the hotel and, you know, in the clubhouse too, and have a good dining experience. So yeah, it's more than just golf. Golf is a big central part of the whole property there, but there will be people staying in that hotel who don't even look at the golf course, I would imagine.
I was a junior in high school in Wisconsin Rapids next door to Stevens Point when Century World was being built. And that meant that Century Insurance had built their humongous headquarters. And that was before the trees grew up around it. It was bigger than life to a kid in that area, Gary. And it just feels like the entire Century experience there is bigger than life now. Like I said, the worldwide headquarters have kind of been engulfed by trees, so you don't appreciate the scope and magnitude of that building. I mean, it's truly a world headquarters, and now everything that's grown up around it is spectacular. Let's go to the golf course. You played it again. It's gone through a couple of different renovations in the last 10 years. One that shut it down for 2 years, I believe, to replace the greens, and now they've done a whole lot of other, I guess I would call it, infrastructure work based on your story, Gary, that maybe the golfers won't appreciate because a lot of it's under the ground. Why don't you tell us what you saw on the golf course that really made the changes there and the work done stand out?
Yeah, well, first of all, Rob, I played it with Danny Rainbow, the PGA director of golf up there. Danny's a great guy and on the board of directors of the Wisconsin PGA section. Gives back a lot to the game. And we played it on Monday. The course is normally closed Monday, so we had the course to ourselves. So that was fun. The second part of it, Rob, was we had one of those magical weather days when it's 75, sunny with a hint of a breeze, no humidity. One of those days where it just seems like even your vision is crisper, if you know what I mean. You just see better even in that kind of weather. And the course is just an absolute pristine condition. 20-minute tee time. It opened June 1st, so it hasn't been played a lot, you know, in a couple of years, really. opened June 1st, so it was open about a month when I played it. Pristine conditions. They have made some notable changes. The biggest one is Rob is installing a sub-air system under the greens, and that's the same system that Augusta National has under its greens, so they can control the moisture to a large degree. I mean, if they get a biblical flood, obviously that changes things. But I mean, right. If it's a normal rainfall, they can suck the moisture right out of those greens and make them firm and fast very quickly, which they're going to have to do for the Senior Open next year. They want firm, fast greens. And so they can control the golf course in a way that a lot of, you know, golf courses are just at the mercy of Mother Nature. They've got some control over the playing conditions of their course now. And it wasn't just wonderful condition.
We mentioned that the U.S. Senior Open coming to the state next year at Central World. How do you think it's going to stack up, you know, for those guys? You know, we've got a senior major going on. We'll talk about it a little bit with the Bridgestone senior players at Firestone. In some ways, a similar course because, you know, it's very much tree lined, but in other ways, a lot different because I think Firestone might be a little bit older. And but as far as Central World goes, I mean, you know, they're going from hosting a U.S. Girls Junior a few years ago to now jumping into a U.S. Senior Open. I mean, that's pretty heady stuff and a pretty big jump. How do you think it's going to handle that level of competition?
I think it will acquit itself quite well, Rob. You know, they added some back tees, so now it can be stretched over 7,300 yards, which is, you know, that's certainly in the ballpark for a Senior Open for the maximum length. And also they've narrowed the fairways, and because they narrowed the fairways on the pars, fours and fives, they also had to move some bunkers in, so you don't have a bunker out in the rough. You know, it's be against the fairway cut, the fairway edge. So as a result, the holes are a little bit narrower. The landing areas are narrower than they were, you know, a year or two ago, or the last time it was open. So that I noticed that right away. And the green complexes are really, really good. And, you know, they're well bunkered, a lot of fall offs and runoffs into chipping areas where you might be chipping up 15 feet or, you know, to the green putting surface. It's going to test your short games, and they'll be able to get those greens as fast as they want them. If they want them 14 on the stint meter, they'll get them there. So it'll be every bit a test as these guys run, I think.
The one thing your story said is that the flower hole, the par 3 16th, was left untouched. That's, of course, the hole that was the signature hole, kind of the brainchild of then Century chairman John Jonas, who, you know, really was the Herb Kohler of Century Insurance in terms of bringing championship golf and destination golf to the state of Wisconsin back in the early 80s. Were the flowers in bloom when you played, Gary? And does that hole continue to wow the senses as you stand on the tee box?
It does. You know, the flowers weren't quite mature yet. Obviously, they were, you know, planted pretty late in the game here because we had a bad spring weather-wise. But they're just starting to really look good. And I think in a few weeks, they're just going to be spectacular. For people who have played Century World, that's one of the most photographed holes in all of golf. Bring your camera when you stand on that tee for sure. And for people who haven't played it or are going to come and see it next year for the Senior Open, they'll be wowed by that hole. I think something like 16,000 flowers that are planted in the area leading up to the green and around the green complex. So yeah, it's one of those iconic holes in golf. Like, you know, I wouldn't compare it to any hole at Augusta National, certainly, or 7 at Pebble Beach or 18 at Pebble Beach. It's not that kind of hole, but it is a beautiful, beautiful hole that gets photographed by just about every first time golfer there.
Well, and it's the picture that I have hanging up. You can see it as we do this on a Zoom call behind me here in the office. It is. I mean, to me, it's the most iconic hole in Wisconsin golf. It's the first really, truly signature hole. I mean, a lot of courses had signature holes, Gary, before Century World came aboard. But after Century World, you know, you think about some of the great signature holes at some of the great courses, you know, at Kohler, at Erin Hills, the 16th hole at University Ridge with all the bunkers. And of course, signature holes were really a thing of the name designers. And Robert Trent Jones Jr., who did University Ridge, also did Century World before that. And, you know, I thought did a magnificent job of creating that at a time when, you know, that concept was foreign to Wisconsin. And now here we are decades later And it's just, you know, even better than it was when it first opened.
Yeah, and Robert Trent Jones freely admits that it really wasn't his idea. It was John Jonas's idea. John Jonas wanted the par threes to be unique and to stand out. And he got to 16 and said, what are we going to do here, Robert? You know, Bobby, you know, this is kind of a plain hole. And Robert Trent Jones said, well, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, digging a little pond and having some water come in, and we'll have a little water feature in front of the green. And Robert Trent Jones said, how about if we make it a lake of flowers instead? And so that became the mantra, as the lake of flowers. And it certainly was a stroke of genius on his part, because it, as you say, and as the picture right behind you now, as we're talking, illustrates, it truly is one of those holes you just don't forget once you played it.
And I think a nod too to the maintenance staff through the years. I mean, that is the most pressure packed job they have every year, is to create that experience with flowers in all kinds of weather. They have to react to bad weather, you know, that might, you know, in any way impact that the experience of that hole. And it just, I've never heard anybody come away from Century World other than, you know, if they play it too early in the year, too late in the year, and the flowers just aren't, you know, in their peak. You know, I mean, it's always maintained impeccably, and that continues to be the case. And I think you can't lose sight of the fact that the job that the maintenance crew there does, and the superintendent at Central World.
Yeah, and to be perfectly frank, Rob, you know, it's owned by an insurance company, so you know, they're not hurting for money to put into the golf course. Let's put it that way. They want everything to be perfect there. They want everything to be done right, and it is. And they've got, I wouldn't call it an unlimited budget for maintenance, but if they need something, you know, Century Insurance is going to make sure that it's taken care of, and that always helps. But that team up there, yeah, they do a great job with that golf course.
And that kind of brings us to, you know, the topic that I think that really had people buzzing when your story posted. I believe with this change, they've also gone to the all-inclusive rate of $275 per round. It seems like an astronomical amount of money to play 18 holes of golf, even in this day and age, but it does include everything. I don't know how much of the inclusiveness was included when you played with Danny, but you know, it for some people, it's a great, you know, it's a great perk. For other people, maybe like myself, I don't, you know, really, I'm not a big guy who drinks, you know, during a round of golf. I know it seems kind of sacrilegious coming from Wisconsin, but you know, you know, but I'll definitely, you know, especially on a hot summer day, you know, it doesn't hurt to keep your energy up with food. And it would seem as though that they're going to be very prominent with, you know, their opportunities to indulge in the all-inclusiveness of that package.
Yeah, when I played the course a week and a half ago or so, it was the two concession buildings were just being finished. So they had tents set up right next to them that were serving as a concession areas. And so the course was closed, but you know, Danny unzipped the tent and we walked in and he showed me what was there and what's going to be in the concession stands. And yeah, hot food, you know, they're going to have a chef at each of those concession stands. And you pass them four times, on 1 and 10, and on, I believe 4 and 13, you go past them. So you have four opportunities to grab whatever you need. And because it's 20 minute tee times, you can take your time, go in there, have a meal, a hot sandwich, a cold sandwich, just about any kind of snack you can imagine, Rob. And then anything they're going to have a bartender in each, at each of those stations. So anything you want to drink, a mixed drink, beer, soda, Gatorade, whatever, water, whatever you need, you can take it in your cart. You can stop for a little while and eat it there. And, $275 is expensive. It's not a cheap round of golf. There was a little pushback on the story and some of the comments on social media, people saying, you know, I can't afford to play it anymore. And I don't know why they jacked up the rates and that sort of thing. But when you play Century World, it's an experience. It, you know, you don't worry about 9 minute tee times and a beverage cart, as I wrote in my story, that may or may not come around, and noisy old gas carts. I mean, everything is first class and you're paying for the experience of playing a world-class golf course that is impeccably maintained. So that's what you're paying for. It's not everyone's slice of cheese, and that's fine. Good thing there's 450 golf courses in Wisconsin, and a lot of them are, you know, much more affordable. But for people who want that experience it's certainly there up in Stevens Point.
I guess I would equate it, Gary, and anybody who follows me knows that, you know, my restaurant of choice would probably be a mushroom and Swiss burger at Culver's. But I want to caution you, I have dined at Fleming's and had a steak. Now, when I go to Fleming's and have a steak, you have to order the baked potatoes and the other accessories extra. And to me, it's like I'm dining in a foreign land. Normally, that comes with the value meal, buddy. And I walk away, you know, that the pocketbook feels pinched. Yeah, but boy, the experience that night was one I'll never forget. And as opposed to, nothing against the trip to Culver's, but, you know, and I guess one of the good things about how good that, you know, fast food restaurant is the fact that it is a good experience every time you go there. But I mean, it's a different good experience. And this is, you know, you do these kind of things. You go to Pebble Beach, you go to Bandon Dunes, you spend a guy's weekend or a gal's weekend at Sand Valley or Lake Geneva or Door County. You're going there to spend some money. And I think this is, you know, and especially when you pack, I'm sure there's, you know, stay and play type of deals you can do too with the hotel. To me, I just feel like, you know, this gives Wisconsin golfers an experience that you don't have to travel to the coast for, or, you know, another resort destination, Las Vegas, whatever it might be.
Yeah, there's no law that says every golf course must be affordable to the masses. Certainly, we're glad that there are plenty of golf courses that are, but you're right. I mean, if you want a high-end experience, whether it's owning a car or going to a fine a dining establishment or staying in a great hotel or playing a great golf course, I mean, you're going to pay a premium. You should pay a premium because it's about the experience, not just what the numbers you write on your scorecard. It's something you're going to remember as opposed to playing a $30 course. Nothing wrong with that. That's the kind of golf courses I play all the time, Rob. But I wouldn't say that a lot of times I have great experiences on those course. And that's what you get at Century World and at Kohler and at Erin Hills and Lasonia. And thankfully, we have golf courses of all types in our state.
Someone asked the question of you on social media. I'm not sure what your answer was. Do you think this will catch on? I think there was a fear by someone who likes to play Lasonia that this will become what, you know, Lasonia does. And I hope not, because, you know, the 2 weeks that I was there, you know, recently, it seemed like, you know, it was to me that Lasonia has always been more of the common man's upscale course that doesn't necessarily, you know, cave into that. I don't, you know, there are places you can stay on the property, but, you know, it's always been a conference center. I believe at one point, what was the Baptist conference center? And mm-hmm. You know, it was never ingrained and intertwined with the golf. The golf is the golf at Lasonia, and the other stuff is the other stuff. And then there's a lot of people who will stay nearby and take advantage of the lakes and the other things that Lasonia has to offer. Do you anticipate that this kind of concept will catch on, and or do you think this is kind of a one-off that is mainly unique to the upscale courses?
Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about that happening to other courses. Lasonia, as you know, Rob, we've played it many times and covered a lot of tournaments there. It's a great test of golf, and it's a lot of fun to play. It's not, and there is lodging in the area, but there isn't a boutique hotel on the grounds, and it's just not the same thing. And I think it's a very appropriately priced. I think around the golf is, if I'm not mistaken, between $75 and $95 maybe there. And I think that's a great price for Lasonia. It gets more play right now than it ever did, even though the price has gone up in recent years. And I think probably at the tipping point price wise, I think it's in the right spot is what I'm saying.
Well, I tell you what, it was a fascinating read. I think Stevens Point, and rightly so, should be very proud of what one of its cornerstone companies in really in all of central Wisconsin has done to kind of cement its place in the landscape of Wisconsin golf. And I'm glad you had a good time. Is there anything else we should know about your experience up there? You behaved yourself, you stayed out of the downtown bars in Stevens Point, that kind of thing.
I did behave myself, Rob. Yeah, I was so exhausted after shooting a big number on the golf course that I repaired to my room and put salve on my wounds. It was, but it was a good stay. And I think, Rob, we better reserve hotel rooms for when we cover the Senior Open next year, because that is less than a year away now, Rob, and we don't want to stay 50 miles away. So I think we better get on then and get our rooms.
That's a good point. I'm going to write that down, so that I put that on the old to-do list. Hotels. and it's 4th of July weekend up in central Wisconsin. So
yes.
Or right before, I think the tournament ends the 2nd, and then, you know, hang around for, you know, a great time on the lakes and then the fireworks the next couple days. But I'm looking forward to that. And I know that Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly are very much looking forward to a major in their home state at their age. You know, again, we'll be talking about the Open Championship in a little bit, but hard to believe we're getting to the point where, you know, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson may never play an Open Championship again at St. Andrews after this year. And the same with Steve Stricker and Jerry Kelly, who knows when another senior major will roll into the state. So very much looking forward to that next year. Gary, on the topic of courses opening, also opening this week is one that Dennis McCann has written extensively about, the Glen Golf Park in Madison, open for play here just after the 4th. And from all accounts, good reviews so far. Nothing, you know, it's kind of, again, a unique public golf experience with the, you know, the cooperation and the generosity of the Kaiser family from Sand Valley making, you know, that happen. So exciting times for course development at a time when we haven't seen a ton of it, but we've seen a number of courses reimagined in the state.
Yeah, Abbey Springs recently reopened, Rob, after a big renovation there. And of course, we have TPC Wisconsin coming in the very near future here. And everyone's looking forward to what that turns out to be, the old Cherokee Country Club. It is heady times in Wisconsin. Major championships coming. We've got a U.S. Mid-Am championship at Erin Hills later in the year. It's just, it's a cool time for golf in our state.
Well, I'm looking forward to the day that Gary D'Amato funds a reimagination of Grant Park in Milwaukee, D'Amato Hills. And we'll wait until that day. How does that sound?
That sounds good. I'm all in on that one. All right. Don't think it needs to be changed, though. I think Grant Park can just stay exactly the way it is forever. That'd be fine with me.
That's right. Gary needs a course that he can bring to its knees. We don't need a Gary-proof Grant Park anytime soon. Talking.golf presented by Iron Jock and Wisconsin.golf's Spritz of Summer. 90-degree temperatures are in the back half of the upcoming 14-day forecast, so Iron Jock can have you ready to handle the heat and humidity coming our way in Wisconsin. Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. That technology kills 99.9% of bacteria and fungus causing you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. You can join Iron Jock Nation by going to their website at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. Golf, last week, Gary, we referenced it a little bit on the podcast a week ago, and you had a great recap of Harrison Ott's excellent adventure up in Canada that culminated with a major climb up the leaderboard all weekend and his first top 10 finish. Now, the tour is off for a couple weeks, but I tell you what, the Harrison Ott, who Monday qualified, if you didn't read Gary's sweet spot column on Monday, in a borrowed polo and sweatpants and borrowed clubs because Air Canada had trouble getting the clubs of a number of the golfers headed to especially the Monday qualifier there in time. And then he apparently got his clubs and was able to finish top 10. And what a great breakthrough performance for Harrison Ott. And what then became his debut, because when he Monday qualified, or actually got in as an alternate the week before and the tournament was canceled. I forgot. That was his professional debut on the Canadian tour.
Yeah, Rob, he's going to have a story to tell his grandkids someday about his first 10 days as a pro, you know, leading his very first tournament. The tournament gets washed out. The whole thing gets canceled. First time that's happened on PGA Tour Canada, apparently, that the tournament was canceled after one round. Hops on a plane, you know, arrives to Monday qualify at the next site, Prince Edward Island. His clubs don't arrive. His suitcase doesn't arrive. And he cobbles together a set of clubs and goes out and shoots a 68, gets in the tournament, and then finishes T9. I mean, that's that's the stuff of legends, Rob. That kind of story is it's really cool. And he's going to have one, as I say, to tell his grandkids someday. That was quite a wild ride there with a lot of ups and downs.
And all four Wisconsin or golfers with Wisconsin ties who were in the field made the cut, cashed a paycheck last week. So off to a great start there. Really, kind of exciting. We talked about it last week to have four guys playing in a professional event and a PGA Tour sanctioned tour at the same time was neat. Oconomowoc's George Kneiser finished T34, and Jordan Hahn, the former Badger, T40. Thomas Longbella out of Chippewa Falls, T52. So promising stuff now as they take a week break up there. And we hope to see, you know, a couple of those guys at the State Open here in a month's time down at Ozaukee. But that was kind of fun. And then a lot of other great golf being played around the state. They had the Wisconsin PGA Junior Par 3 Championship at Sand Valley at the Sandbox. We should give a shout out to Thomas Bright, a young man out of the La Crosse area. First swing of the day, Gary D, he makes a hole in one on the first hole at the Sandbox. And then I think he went bogey, double bogey, birdie. So even par after four the hard way.
I'm jealous, Rob. As listeners and readers might know, I still haven't had one. Have you had a hole in one? I forgot. I don't think I
had a hole in one on a par three course in San Diego, playing
that
with
my
daughter. Well, it 99 yards from an elevated tee, so I'm basically looking down at the bottom of the cup and managed to bounce one in there on one hop. It was three holes after my daughter's college teammate from UW Stout, Marie Allo, made one. She's now a club pro up in Minnesota. That was the second one I've witnessed. A good friend of ours who had us out to Nakoma a couple years before that had one there, and that was the first one I've ever witnessed. So it's pretty exciting when those go in the hole. We should also mention that so Riley Paczynski of Plover, she's headed to UW Green Bay in another year. She's a 2023 grad. She shot 58, Gary, to win the girls competition for the third year in a row. She won the girls title a year ago while her brother Logan won the boys title. Logan was off at Lake Arrowhead qualifying for the state AM the day of the state PGA Junior Par 3 Championship. So he's kind of moved on. He was at Davenport University this past year, and he's going to transfer to UW Green Bay and join the men's team there this fall. So a big pickup for Lee Ranke. And then Everett Schrader, who was on the Kohler golf team, I believe, if I remember my Sheboygan Norse from my Kohlers, I believe Everett was on the Kohler state championship team over at Black Wolf Run. He shot a 53 and won a playoff over Brett Wieland out of Milton and Sawyer Crams out of Wausau. They both shot two over par 53, and they finished one shot ahead of about six other golfers. Ethan Thomas of Junction City, Zeke Booz of Madison, Camden O'Malley of White Bear Lake, Minnesota, Luke Table of Holman, Trey Kettle of Sheboygan, and Tice Ortega of Wauwatosa. You know, Gary, we've all played, I don't know, I played a lot of par three golf. We had a membership at Vitens for many years because we had kids that, you know, I felt were better served by working on the short game that way. Nine holes on a par three course, eight, or in this case, 17 holes on a par three course to finish two or three over par is pretty good playing, because it's hard to maintain a groove swing. You get one shot to hit the green on a par three. You don't do it, you better have a pretty good short game to save par. And I just think par three courses are the best.
And this one, the Sandbox, I mean, it's no pushover, Rob. Have you played it?
You're gonna see it.
Well, maybe we'll get out there during the state AM and sneak out there in the morning and play it, because it is it's a par three in name, but it's the green complexes are very, very difficult. And you're right, if you miss the greens, especially the Sandbox, it's all you can do to get up and down. I mean, they're very challenging. Did you say Riley Paczynski has won it 3 years in a row?
She has, yes. And I got to say this too. You know, we'll have a lot of
believable.
Yeah, well, it's and I tell you what, keep an eye on this young lady. I mean, she has grown again. I mean, her brother is probably about, I'm going to guess, 6'2", 6'3", you know, and just can hit the ball a ton. And Riley is if she's not at 6 foot now, she's pretty close. When I started the State Women's Open, I was fearful of my high school alma mater at Wisconsin Rapids that she'll be playing hoops for Stevens Point, the big rival this winter. But she's a golfer first and foremost, and just has a tremendous future, you know, physically. And if she can play the par three courses the way she can, you know, it takes soft hands and it takes a soft touch with the wedges, and she's got that. And if she can combine that with, you know, what I'm sure is a pretty long game off the tee for a young lady her age, I think, you know, they've got a great one going to UW Green Bay. So I thought that was pretty cool that she wins that again. And again, you got to give a shout out. We'll have the Wisconsin Par 3 Championship coming up in a few weeks for just the rest of the amateurs, the men and the women, at the Sandbox. But again, between the state amateur coming up for the men in a couple of weeks and the annual Par 3 Championships that they host, it's become a destination, and it looked like a full field again for that with a lot of great golfers. I mean, this isn't one that people skip, Gary. The kids who have an opportunity to play in other junior tour events, they're signing up first and foremost for the Par 3 Championship. And Brett Whelan's a kid who plays in a lot of stuff. And, you know, his mom's the women's golf coach down at UW Whitewater. And, of course, Kirk, you know, a former Badger golfer in his own right. And, you know, I mean, these kids liked the challenge that presents, just as you described, and kind of neat to see. Other stuff on the schedule this week, the Minnesota State Open had a full complement of Wisconsin golfers in it, including former UW Stout golfer Derek Holmes, who finished T5. And Mario Tiziani, who finished T9. Mario was on the bag a few weeks ago for Steve Stricker at the U.S. Senior Open, and again, likes to come home to his home state, or his adopted home state. He's a Madison native, but spent most of his life living outside of Minneapolis, and so a good week for Mario there. Hope to see him get a few more starts on the Champions Tour here before long. Nikki Stricker on the bag this week, as the Bridgestone Senior Players is the major championship du jour for the over 50 set. Steve Stricker here on Friday with a 500 par 65 moves up 14 spots into T5. Jerry Kelly, 14 straight pars to start his round, and then two birdies and a bogey. It's a 169. He's at 4 under for the week, T9. Currently, Stephen Alker at 6 under leads. Gary, I can't think of a more exciting leaderboard heading into the weekend of a rare 72-hole senior tour event. There's a lot of Stephen Elker's up there, Tim Petrovic, Jerry Kelly's old teammate from the University of Hartford, Alex Chayka, Joe Durant, also tied for the lead there. But then you've got Woody Austin, David Toms, Stricker, Ernie Els, just a shot back. I mean, it's a bunch leaderboard down there at Firestone.
It really is, Rob. And, you know, got to give a shout-out to Stricker and Kelly. These guys are, whether or not they go on to win this weekend, these guys are top 10 machines on the Champions Tour. I'm gonna have to go through the record book and find out how many times they finished, not only in the top 10, but in the top 10 in the same tournament. It's got to be at least 8 or 10 times that they both been in the top 10 in the tournament, and it could happen again this weekend, and either one of those guys could win it. I mean, Jerry's only 2 shots back. Steve's a shot back, 36 holes to go. Although Stephen Alker, man, he's had a magical year, hasn't he, Rob?
He sure has. The other thing, Gary, I should mention too about our two Wisconsin golfers, both apparently, I'm told, and Steve confirmed this in a pre-tournament interview, battling back issues. So it has not been an easy week in Ohio for those guys, but it really, you know, it speaks to, you know, their ability to play this course and play it well. So pretty cool, and can't wait to see how they finish up. And then, Gary, you had something else in the sweet spot this week, and I'm not sure, I don't think it's started yet, but the American Century Championship, the celebrity event in Tahoe is going on this week. I know Tony Romo's in it. I know Aaron Rodgers is in it because Pat McAfee and the crew and A.J. Hawk are in it. It's by far the masters of celebrity golf, and it's great to see our buddy Tony Romo teeing it up. And anything else you can tell us about the American Century Championship?
Yeah, it's 54 holes, Rob, and it does, as we're recording this on Friday afternoon, this podcast, it has started. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday event. Romo's a past, maybe a two-time past champion. And there's a number of guys with Wisconsin ties playing it. Vinny Del Negro played for the Bucks for a year or two. The Curry's dad is in it, and as are both Seth and Steph. And then Charles Woodson's playing. So a lot of Wisconsin ties in this, and it's these guys are serious about their golf. You know, this is a celebrity tournament, but it's not hit and giggle to them, Rob. These guys want to win this tournament, and I know certainly Tony Romo wants to win.
I've located the leaderboard on the on their website, and currently after one round out there, Mark Mulder and TJ Oshie, I hope I pronounced that right, at 21 points. They're playing the Stableford system, lead by 1 point over Annika Sorenstam, who keeps going back and forth between real competitive golf and well, I guess real competitive golf, since what you just described, they do take this quite seriously. And then Tony Romo, two points back in a tie for fourth place with Mike Modano and Adam Thielen, and then John Smoltz and Marshall Faulk another point back after that. So, I think it's pretty cool. Aaron Rodgers, 11 points on day one. He's in a group that includes Jay Billis, Gary. So how often do you get to say Aaron Rodgers and Jay Billis in the same golf tournament?
I'm sure Aaron's showing off his new tattoo. Did you know that? Did you see that, Rob?
I saw that.
It was on the news the other day. Yeah, he got some massive tattoo. I think it looks like it's on his inside of his forearm. I don't know. Yeah. He said he's going to explain what it all means at a later date. It has something to do with astrology. I don't know. He's gone off the rails a little bit as far as I'm concerned. But you know, he's not going to win this tournament. He's a good golfer, but he's a guy who shoots in the high 70s, and that's not going to get it done in this tournament.
No, but we like what Tony Romo did at the state match play. He's also got a sponsor's exemption into the state amateur up at Sand Valley in a couple of weeks. So we hope the volume of golf doesn't impact his back too much where he can't tee it up in the town of Rome in a couple of weeks' time. So we'll continue to follow that. Meanwhile, Gary, as we look ahead on the schedule, it's Women's State Amateur Week. And I've been doing this a long time. I don't know of a field better than the one that we have assembled this week. We've got the last three Wisconsin Women's State Open champions, of course. That's two individuals, Emily Lauterbach, who won it in 2020 and this past month in 2022, and Mia Seaman out of Milton. She's in the process of transferring from South Dakota State to Lipscomb University. Emily, of course, a University of Wisconsin golfer. We have the recent state match play champion, Ava Soleil. I'll have a story on her Monday about her commitment to the University of Wisconsin, the first in-state recruited golfer to the Badgers since Emily Lauterbach. And then we have 2020 state amateur champion Sarah Busey, who just wrapped up her college career. She's, of course, a former state high school champ out of Racine St. Catharines. We would have the other two, the two most recent state amateur winners, Gary D'Amato, but much like we find in the men's state amateur, they tend to turn professional, and now they're doing it in the women's ranks. Tatum Beck, the 2021 champ out of Waterford, and Bobby Stricker, the defending champion out of Madison, both have turned professional, therefore cannot play in the event. But it's not diminishing the field one bit. I mean, almost every college golfer at the Division I level, you know, the Abby Caviani's, the Rachel Coughlins, I should mention Rachel Coughlin and Mallory Swartz, who teamed up to win the state best ball championship this week at La Crosse Country Club. They are both in it, as is Grace Suter, out of Loyola, who's had a great run, a state open runner-up a year ago in the playoff loss to Mia Seaman. I'm just really impressed. You know, I knew that the WSGA oversight of the tournament would, you know, create better venues and allow the easier registration for the tournament as a championship. But I didn't expect to see it grow to be this big this fast. And literally a who's who of everybody that's playing well. And I can't wait to see what happens, next week at West Bend Country Club. And you were telling me before we started the podcast, you've actually been to West Bend. I've never been there, but it's a golf course that really is worthy of a state amateur championship.
It certainly is, Rob. You know, it's the Langford Murrow, the same guys who designed Lasonia and Spring Valley down in Salem. It's, it's got those sort of wild green complexes, well bunkered, elevated greens, big rolling, heaving greens, putting. Rob, I think short game and putting is going to be the key to this women's state amateur this week. trying to avoid three putts is going to be a key. I think the golfers who avoid three putts and can sneak in a couple of bending, 15 footers along the way are going to have great success this week.
So that, brings me to my, next question, Gary, and that's that, we saw Mia Seaman and Grace Suter have great success last year at the State Women's Open on the links course at Laconia. Since you've seen and played both, I mean, how would you compare the two? And is there a chance that the horses for courses concept will come into play here with those two young ladies having really mastered Laconia quite well a year ago?
Yeah, that's a good question, Rob. And I think, certainly if you believe in that theory, horses for courses, then this course, West Bend Country Club, should set up well for the young ladies who had success at Laconia. It's very similar style, dramatic green complexes, good bunkering. I don't know how they're going to set it up as far as lengthwise, but I'm sure they can make it as long as they need to for the best women players in the state. So it's going to be a challenge. It's a very worthy course of the best amateur women in our state.
Yeah, just again, paging through the roster of players, the aforementioned Riley Paczynski in the field, one of several current and future UW Green Bay golfers teeing it up there. You also have McKenna Nelson, the young lady you wrote about earlier this year, Gary, from Beaver Dam. She has looked really good and is making people already start to take notice of the class of 2027. Ava Soleil, as I mentioned, competing. And it just, really a great field. The Walker twins out of Kenosha are competing. And I'm really excited about what's in store. We should mention, too, the format has reverted back to the 36-hole opening day. One of the things that with the state open this year and the state amateur, the competitors really were hoping to go back to 54 for the AM and expand the open to 54 because you need 54 holes to earn world amateur golf ranking points. And this does that for the higher-end Division I golfers that are trying to get points to play in things like the women's Western and some of the great, women's amateur events around the country. And this is, helps kind of, feed that process a little bit more. And Gary, we should mention too, that the West Bend Country Club on the docket to host a state amateur championship here in just a couple of years. I believe they're on the schedule for 2026. Of course, next year, the state amateur goes to Aaron Hills for the men. And then in 2024, it's the Legend at Merrill Hills. And then West Bend Country Club in 26. They actually scheduled a couple out to 2030. North Hills Country Club in Menominee Falls for 2029, and Oneida Golf and Country Club in Green Bay for 2030. And the fact that West Bend doing a women's state am now, a men's state am in a couple years, it kind of speaks to that whole process, that concept that the USGA has gone to with legacy courses. And Lord knows we've got enough of them in the state, Gary, to double up with men's and women's state AMs, because quite frankly, the level of competition in the women's ranks now, they can handle it every bit as well as the men.
Yeah, it's really, the competition has really come up on both sides. I wrote the story last week about on the men's side, how impressive some of these young players are with, Mason Schmidtke winning the Ray Fisher, and so many other good players in high school and college right now. It's a fun time, Rob. We've talked about it a lot, but we are so lucky to be able to cover golf at this point in Wisconsin with so many good players and so many championships coming to our state, and the stuff about all the courses opening and being renovated. It's just it's a golden age for golf in our state right now.
It is. And then, of course, next week, the state women's AM will occupy our attention early in the week. And at the end of the week, it's Open Championship Week at St. Andrews. We've got the Scottish Open going on this week, which is now a PGA Tour, DP World Tour event. And I think for at least a couple of weeks, they've successfully wrestled the world golf attention away from the LIV Tour. And hopefully we can focus on major championships, even though I guess a couple of LIV golfers have successfully petitioned the British courts to get into the field, including Ian Poulter. What do you think of next week going back to St. Andrews and Would be your win, place, and show for next week at the old course?
Wow. You know, I read something by Nick Faldo. He said if the conditions are mild during open week, he could see someone shooting a 59 on the old course, which would be sort of sacrilegious. But the home of golf, you know, it's hosted, I don't know how many British Opens, probably 12 or 15. And I was there, Rob, in 2005 when Tiger won, and that was Jack Nicklaus's final British Open appearance. And I got to play the course, not then, of course, but at a different time. It's a golf course that if you built it now in the middle of Nebraska, no one would play it. But because it's in the old gray tune, as they call St. Andrews, and because of its history and because of what it means to the world of golf, it's a very, very special place. I have no idea who could win there. I mean, it could be really, it could be any one of 100 players, I think, because that course doesn't favor any certain kind of golf. But I would sure like to see Tiger was maybe in his final British Open, his final Open Championship, certainly his final one at St. Andrews, where he's won twice. I would love to see him get in the mix. I think that'd be a great story for golf right now.
I enjoyed the fact that he played Ballybunion with Rory McIlroy on Thursday, and seeing, you know, those guys posing for photos like you and I would at Kettle Moraine Golf Club in Dousman. You know, I mean, that's kind of fun. That just a recreational round getting ready for the Open. I thought that was pretty cool. I think Rory is a guy that is ready. He's really, I think, been motivated by, you know, keeping the attention away from the LIV Golf Tour. And I would think he would be a wildly popular champion at the old course. And then, you know, it seems as though Jordan Spieth is somewhat rounding into form. He's having a good week at the Scottish Open. It doesn't always translate. It's, you know, kind of like, you know, the par three contest, the Masters. I mean, you know, it's apples and oranges, you know, especially because you're going from a, you know, what's essentially a regular event to a major, and the course set up there. But I think, you know, obviously Jordan Spieth's record on that side of the pond speaks for itself. And I wouldn't, you know, a Matt Fitzpatrick coming off of a big win at the PGA, I'm sorry, at the US Open, you know, would be, you know, one that you couldn't overlook. But I wouldn't overlook Will Zalatoris either. I think, again, we've talked about it on this show. If there's a guy now that Scottie Scheffler has won his major that's, you know, ripe to be the next one in line, I think a Will Zalatoris. So I'll go, Rory, Jordan, and Will, win, place, and show. And and I'll give you Tiger in the field.
You wouldn't have said that about 10 years ago, Rob.
No, I would not. Not at all.
Yeah.
Tiger said, at the old course is like Tiger at Pebble Beach and at Torrey Pines. You just don't, you right. Just put his name down and you walk away.
That's exactly right. But well, you're the three players you could pick, certainly any one of those three could win. And you're right, Rory McIlroy winning the Open Championship would be a huge story for golf, especially with all the with everything that's going on with LIV and what Rory has stood up and said about the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour and LIV Golf. That would be just a tremendous story.
Well, we will see next week. Certainly no shortage of coverage. It's one of those great weeks where you can watch golf from the crack of dawn or even before you go to bed, if you stay up late enough, if you're a night owl like some of us are, and then continue to watch it all day. And then, you know, there'll be a PGA Tour opposite field event next week, and I believe the web.com tour in Springfield, Illinois next week, Gary, with and the Canadian Tour picking back up as well, maybe not next week but the week after. So no shortage of things to keep an eye on as we build up here through the heat of the competitive golf season, both in Wisconsin and throughout the world. And when we do our podcast next week, Gary, we'll break down the field at the Wisconsin State Amateur. We won't have Pearson Hunt. We had that in the sweet spot earlier this week. But a lot of guys that qualified their way in, the most recent one being yesterday, Bennett Swavely with a great round up at Turtleback. And there have been a lot of great competitive fields at the, I think there's a dozen qualifiers this year, it seems like. I think Jeff Perkle told me they kind of went with a few more to make sure that, you know, that things didn't slow down at the qualifiers. But the qualifiers have been great. There's still a lot of great exempt players that'll be in the mix. And You know, we talked about it. It's the golden age of golf in Wisconsin again. And even without Pearson Hunt, I think it'll be, and Harrison not having turned pro, I think it'll be a really good field at Sand Valley. So we'll save our preview for next week. And Gary, enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up again next Friday.
All right, Rob. Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, this has been Rob Hernandez, and this has been Talking.Golf, presented by Iron Jock and Wisconsin.Golf's Shirts of Summer. 90-degree temperatures are in the horizon on the 14-day forecast, and Iron Jock can have you ready to handle the heat and humidity. Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. Join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.